Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, start with verse 1, and I want to show you why so many people are sick or they die early. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. God guided all of them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them, and He brought them all safely through the waters of the sea on dry ground. As followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud and the sea, verse 3 and 4. And all of them ate the same miraculous food, and all of them drank the same miraculous water, for they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. So He's been around a long time. He's not new. Verse 5 and 6. Yet after all this, God was not pleased with most of them. Now, wait a minute. Would you like for God to be pleased with you? Well, if you do what He says, He's going to be pleased with you. If you do not, He's not going to be pleased with you. And then Paul is telling us all these things that are written here in 1 Corinthians 10 is examples for us so we don't do these things. This is what he's trying to say. This is examples that God did in the old covenant, and he says they were all examples for us so we don't do this. He said, yet after all of this, God was not pleased with most of them, and he destroyed them in the wilderness. Now, who destroyed them in the wilderness? You know, I was raised up in a Baptist church. They told me God was a loving God. He would never hurt me. He won't just hurt you. He'll kill you. He'll make you sick. He will afflict you. But you know what? If you please Him, what will He do for you if you please Him? He just bless your socks off, won't He, ma'am? I mean, He'll bless them off, bless them back on again, won't He? See, now that's the God that I learned about in the Baptist church, but they failed to tell me about the part that if I don't make Him happy. They told me the part about what happens with God if I make Him happy. But they didn't really elaborate on that. I didn't know. I just thought He's going to bless me regardless of what I do. And then one day I got to thinking about God is like a father. And I think about my son. When my son was growing up, did I want to bless my son in all things? Yeah, sure I did. But did I bless him all the time? Now, every once in a while his blessing was, you know what I mean, don't you, brother? Did you ever get a spanking from your dad? Oh, yeah. He says, oh, yeah. I mean, if we got caught every time at home, boy, I wouldn't have had no backside left. But after I did find out my dad was going to whip me, I changed. And I quit doing those things. And let me tell you, when you learn that about God, it'll change the way you do business. Because here he says, yeah, after all this, God was not pleased with most of them, and he destroyed them in the wilderness. Now, these events happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. Why did these things happen? I mean, they're an example, aren't they? It says right there that these events happened as a warning to us so that we won't do these crazy things. Verse 7 and 8, let's see what they say. Or worship idols, as some of them did. For the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged themselves in pagan revelry. Do we do that today in America? Even in churches we do this. I stand amazed at the things that we do. And we wonder why we got so many sick people in the church. Wow. It says, the people celebrate with feasting and drinking, and they indulge themselves in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Have you seen a church lately that does not preach on sexual sin? And some of those churches are huge. You know that? Some churches will not preach on sin at all. In fact, there was a couple told me just recently about a church. I will not name the church or the size of it or anything else, but they brought the people to me to get them healed. And as I began to question the person about generational curses and where you came from and what kind of sin you've been living in and everything, they said, Thurman, our church won't let us do this. I said, what do you mean? They said, it is written in the bylaws of our healing rooms that you will absolutely never confront anybody with sin in their life. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't confront people with sin and you get the sin repented of, you're going to have trouble getting that person healed. They got to repent. Because here, sexual immorality is wild in the church today. Now see, people do not believe. Now I realize this wasn't a very big number. How many people got killed? 23,000 in one day. You think God likes sexual immorality? I don't think so. You know, it's amazing that God made sex as a wedding present to a man and a woman. In fact, just to tell you what God thinks about sex, in the Old Covenant, when a young man and a young woman got married, you know how long God gave them off? They didn't have to work? A year. They had a year just to live together, enjoy themselves, have sex all they wanted to. God says, just go and make, just have a heyday. Just love each other. I give them a whole year. Isn't that something? But he said, you don't have sex out of wedlock. He said, you have sex out of wedlock. He said, I hate that. And he said, if you do, I will afflict you. I will afflict your children. And of course, that's something that so many people don't believe today. But we have had two boys in the last few months. One of them stood right here and one stood right here. And this one right here, when I asked what was wrong with him, he was 13. His mother said, the retinas in his eyes have never developed, so he can't focus on anything. I said, son, you can't read those words up there, nothing? He said, no, sir, I can't focus on anything. I said, Mom and Dad, this is your firstborn, yes. I said, did y'all have sex before you got married? Nearly everybody has, yes. If God hates sexual immorality, why do we do this as Christians? But we do. So anyway, they said, but we've been listening to your tapes about 6 months. So when we heard that, we really knew it was wrong to have sex before we got married, but we didn't realize there was a consequence. That makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? And so they said, we have repented of the sin. I said, okay, son, you're in good shape. I said, now then that your mom and dad has repented of the sin, I said, now then we will claim the redemption from the curse, because as long as the sin was there, the curse was there. Once mom and dad repented of the sin, now we can, Jesus has redeemed you from the curse. So I commanded the evil spirits that were messing up his eyes to leave, and I asked the Lord to send the Holy Spirit to restore his little eyes. And I said, Lord, thank you for fixing his little eyes. I said, son, do you believe Jesus has done this for you? He said, yes, sir. I said, then say thank you, Jesus, for my new eyes. He said, thank you, Lord, for my new eyes. And immediately the boy screamed. He said, Mom, those words on the board just came into perfect clear focus. I can see those words perfect. And Mom says, you can read. He looks around and said, Mom, everything's in clear focus. I can see everything perfect. And he started crying. And so his mama started crying. So I told Cheryl, I said, honey, they ain't no use in letting him get by with this. I got to cry with him. I said, let's cry too. Don't you love it when God shows up like that? And of course, the next one, a couple months later, another 13-year-old standing right here, when I asked his mom and dad, I said, what's wrong with him? They said four or five things. But the worst one is he's colorblind. And I said, been like that all his life? Yes. I said, are y'all the parents? They said, we're the adoptive parents. I said, oh, okay. I said, so tell me about his real parents. And they said, well, two wild kids. You know, they were drinking, drugging, doing sex and everything, and they brought him into the world, and they didn't want him. So they gave him to a foster care as a little tiny baby. So she said, we were a foster home. We took him, and we fell in love with him, and finally we adopted him. So he's ours now. He's our adoptive son. I said, are you two walking obedience to God's word? Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Scrivener. We are going to church. We're tithing. We're reading the word every day. We're loving each other. We're walking in total obedience to everything we know about God. I said, son, you in luck. I said, now then, your normal parents, with where they're living, I could never get you healed because you're under a curse because of your parents. But now that your parents are not really your parents anymore, this adoptive family is your parents. They're walking in obedience. You're no longer under the curse. And so we claimed the redemption from the curse. We commanded the evil spirits to leave. We asked the Lord to heal the little boy's eyes, make him where he could see colors again. And then I thanked him for doing it. I said, now, son, do you believe that Jesus has done this? He said, yes, I do. I said, say, thank you, Jesus, for my color vision. He said, Lord, thank you for healing my eyes. And then all of a sudden he does this. Wow, he said, God is awesome. I said, son, what's going on? He said, God is so cool. I'll never forget that. Doesn't that sound like a 13-year-old? God is so cool. I said, son, what's going on? He said, sir, I see colors everywhere. He don't know what they are, but he's looking at them. He sees them. The Lord instantly healed him. 2 months later, we got a beautiful letter from his mom and dad. And they said, what a privilege to have seen our Lord instantly heal our son's color vision right there in church. She said, what a privilege it has been to teach him colors. Mom, what's that beautiful color? He don't have a clue. Son, it's purple. It's purple. Wow, that's purple. Well, see, he don't know. He's never seen colors until that day. Now he's seeing colors everywhere, but he don't know what they are. So mom's having to teach him what those colors are. Do we love serving Jesus? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah, in both. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you right quick. Dave prayed for an 11-year-old in Hobbs the other day that had the left eye was legally blind in the left eye, and 11. And they prayed for him out there, and they came to a healing school here the next month. And while they were in line to be prayed for, the Lord spoke to the little boy and told him to take his glasses off and bring them up, put them on the altar. And he didn't know what that meant. And so in a minute, the Lord told him again. He said, I told you, son, to take your glasses up and lay them on the altar. So he goes, Mom, I don't understand what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a voice tell me to take my glasses and put them on the altar. She said, son, that's God. Let's do it. So they come running down here and laid his glasses up there and told us what they did. And they left his glasses here, and they left. And she called back later and said that his eye got to bothering him. And so they took him to an eye doctor, and his eye was 20/30 in the left eye. It had been legally blind, 20/300 or worse. And she said, when the doctor came out and said, well, I don't really see anything wrong with his eye. I said, the right one's 20/20 and the other's 20/30. And she said, no, doc, the one on the left's 20/300. He said, no, ma'am, I just checked them. It's 20/30. She said, you are an eye doctor, aren't you? And he said, yes, ma'am, I am an eye doctor. He said, and his eye's 20/30. So she said, can you check it one more time? So I went back and checked it one more time, and it was 20/30, almost perfect. And so the little guy went from being legally blind in the left eye after they prayed for him out in Hobbs, but it didn't do it instantly. It took over a month or a month and a half for his vision to come back. Why does God do things like this? I don't know. But it don't make any difference. A little boy can see. And aren't we grateful for our healings, whatever it is. I know some of y'all have heard me talk about my daughter here, Sharon. You know, this lovely girl here, when I met her a few years ago, somebody brought Sharon to a healing school, and she couldn't even drive her own car. She had brain tumors and back problems, and I don't know what. I called Sharon my basket case. She had so many things wrong with her. She came up and said, Pastor, I want you to know I'm a member of a big church here in the Metroplex, and I've never heard the Word of God taught like this in my whole life. I want you to know that I've been prayed for over 100 times with no results.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, The Power Behind Us is Awesome, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.